Hello and welcome to the MarTech Podcast. This is episode one of Dun & Bradstreet's sponsored series, Data Makes the Difference. I'm Kim Davis, Editorial Director at MarTech, and joining me today to discuss how the current economic climate is affecting sales teams and the technologies they're choosing is Chris Garza, Regional Vice President, Field and Inside Sales at Dun & Bradstreet. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Kim. Really excited to be here.
Great. So I think the best way to set the context for our conversation today is to find out a little bit more about your role at Dun & Bradstreet. What do you actually do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've been with Dun & Bradstreet now for about 15 years. So I kind of joke, I've probably done almost every role at the company in sales. I've got probably, over a decade of sales leadership experience, and I've led inside sales teams, inside sales organizations, field sales teams, strategic sales teams, kind of your account executive type sales teams, your specialist subject matter expert sales teams. But right now, my focus is I've got a number of teams that are responsible for driving our new business across all of our three distinct business units. So it's a fun role. It just started here within the last 60 days. I like to keep things interesting, which makes today's topic even more relevant to me because I get to use all these strategies to try to drive some results.
And just to dig a bit deeper into that, Dun & Bradstreet is obviously a very familiar name known for data-driven business insights. In broad terms, what kinds of products are you selling?
Yeah, it's a great question. Look, we sell across three different business units and personas. We have our sales and marketing solutions division, which is responsible for helping customers grow. We have our F&RS, the business unit, which is our finance and risk, which is really focused on helping make the best credit decisions. We also have our supply side, our third-party risk and compliance business unit, which is responsible for helping vet suppliers, helping companies make decisions and onboard customers, and really make sure that they're compliant with regulatory requirements.
Okay, now I'd like to switch gears and talk about changes we've seen, especially over the last 2 or 3 years, in the B2B buyer journey. I mean, things I've observed is we obviously have a lot more young and digitally native B2B buyers now. They're roaming across all kinds of different devices and channels. We have had a lot of people working remotely, which I think makes a lot of difference in people's behavior and how they approach doing research and making purchases. But in your own words, how do you see the B2B buyer journey changing? Where's it headed?
Yeah, it's a great question, Kim. Look, I think you nailed a couple of some of the observations here. Remote work, gosh, that's been huge, and look, while I focus specifically on the B2B side, you can see some of the impacts on the B2C side. And, the last couple of years and the impacts, it's really forced companies to be more digital. You no longer have, as a seller, the ability to try to find necessarily a direct dial or call into an organization, hit a switchboard and maybe try to navigate your way. I mean, you have it in some instances, but it's really forced sellers to find ways to reach buyers in new ways. And when you think about that, it's not just the sellers, it's marketers. We've already been going down a path of increased digitization and the need for more personalization and to reach, buyers in a new way. And this really jump-started it on the consumer side. You even saw, restaurants that were forced to do delivery. Right. Like, I'm a big craft beer guy and there's some breweries here local to me and those breweries, suddenly all started using an app for delivery. Right. So, if I was a seller for a company called Toast who sold this app, I was in pretty good shape because I could probably, I was like shooting fish in a barrel. I could run around and really focus on some of these areas. And as I think about the digitally native aspect of this, again, it really all comes together. This is a demographic that wants to consume digitally. It's how they're trained. It's in their DNA. And this really forced companies to be more assertive and more deliberate about giving them that type of experience that they've really been looking for.
Yeah, and another aspect of that, which I should have mentioned, is the interest in self-serve. Even in the B2B space, people want to go a long way down the funnel, if you like, before they even speak to a sales representative. That must affect what you do.
Yeah, definitely. I think the latest stat I saw was, according to Forrester, it was 74% of B2B buyers conduct more than half of their research online before making an offline purchase. And look, that's fantastic. As a seller, as a sales leader, I want my people involved as early as possible. But I think the reality here is that, we have to accept this is a digitally native group of buyers, and that's not going to change. So, it's up to us as sellers to adapt to what that environment looks like. And it's, how do we make sure that, we're more up to speed on the competitive landscape? Because these buyers, they're educated. They're going to walk into the conversation and understand who those players are. And it's about making sure that you really understand, how do you differentiate yourself among the competition? What are the things unique to your offering? Look, the good news is that the really strong sellers are out there in market and they're doing these things already. But when I look at, your average to below average seller who might be more focused on features and capabilities and not focused on the value you're delivering and what that differentiator is, that means problems, right? And they're going to have to get up to speed. And you've got sales enablement organizations, who are going to have to be responsible for helping up level those sellers.
That's an interesting distinction there, isn't it, between going to a prospect and saying, hey, we've got all these features and capabilities, rather than going to a prospect and trying to figure out what they actually need, what pain point you're solving.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great seller versus an average or below average seller. It's an order taker versus, somebody who really is prescribing. It's a conversation that I have with the team and the leadership team on a monthly basis, is making sure that we're like, what's the problem we're solving? We have a deal for XYZ product. I don't care about the product. Help me understand, what's the problem we're solving? Because if we can't articulate, what's the problem that we're solving and what's the customer trying to accomplish and how are we helping them accomplish that goal, then we haven't done our job as a sales organization, candidly.
So let's get down to some specifics. Be interested to know where and how your sales teams are finding success. And if, as part of that, maybe you could touch on how you're using data or any relevant technologies to support what you're doing.
Yeah, would love to, Kim. So, it's interesting because the answer to those questions are really the same. And, I mentioned at the beginning of this conversation that I just started a new role about 60 days ago. We had a go-to-market change, and it's been a lot of fun. It's a new role. Like any new role, you take on new teams, you have new team members, you have new strategies that you're responsible for deploying. And very quickly into stepping into this role, I realized certainly an area of opportunity, and that's the strategy I've been following, which is, look, we have to work smarter, not just harder. Yes, we can work harder and we can always work harder. But the reality is there's an intelligence aspect of this and making sure that we're working smarter on top of working harder that's going to help us drive success. And to me, that means the data. We have to listen to the data and look. And I've been with Dun & Bradstreet for about 15 years. So being data driven is kind of in my blood. And we have a ton of data that really allows us to leverage internally that we, vend to customers, but to drive those same results. So, I've looked at a couple of different things. Number one, the question is, where do I focus? I've got three different business units. What should be the focus? Should I focus on upsell, cross-sell? Is there specific verticals I should be focusing on? And like in the past, I've really been more focused on our sales and marketing business unit, and I just took responsibility for these other business units 60 days ago. So it's also educating myself. So for anybody new that's joining a company, one of the first things that I recommend you do, which is what I did, is start taking a look at what's the ideal customer profile. And that doesn't mean taking a qualitative view. That means taking a quantitative view. What does the data say? I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with customers and prospects where they say, my ideal customer, here's how I look at it. It's between 100 and 150 employees and sales revenues are between 50 and 75 million. I mean, look, and that's maybe for some organizations, but whether it's small, medium, or large, I've had these same conversations with some of our strategic customers who have a view of what they believe their ideal customer profile is, only to be really surprised by what the data says, right? Being able to take that data, get a view using data like Dun & Bradstreet provides to really start creating segments. So that was the first piece of it. You know, the second piece, once I had a better understanding of, is trying to figure out what data do we have. And this is a combination of like first party and third party data that I might be able to use to work smarter. And I'll give you an example of this. You know, we have a tool internally, and again, this is something that we sell, but you know, I personally felt was underutilized within our own organization, which is why I'm leaning into it. It's a tool called RevUp. But the idea here is it's a customer data platform, the CDP. And it allows us to marry our first-party data with third-party data. In this case, it's really first and first because it's, you know, all D&B data. But it's looking at things like customer usage. You know, when we have solutions that are meter, how do I take that meter data and mash it up with additional information? Like, are they showing intent, right? How do I mash that up to create sales triggers that I can then push over to my sellers? So for some products that I mentioned are metered, once they get to a customer gets to a certain threshold of usage and it looks like they need more, my seller should be reaching out and saying, hey, let's have a conversation. It looks like you purchased X and you've used Y up until this point and you still have, you know, 6 months left in your agreement. Help me understand what are your priorities right now? What projects do we have going on? You know, and even building on top of that, thinking about going after certain sales strategies. We have an ESG product, and you know, one of the areas that I really want to lean into is looking at member organizations for companies who have made commitments to operate in a sustainable way. And how do we then layer intent on first party and third party intent? If they visited our website specific to our ESG offerings, sellers should know about that, and that should get factored into this lead score. If they are consuming lots of content on publisher sites, independent of Dun & Bradstreet's website, specifically around sustainability, and they're showing intent to purchase, I want to know about that too. The more programs that I can build to enable these sellers to have smarter conversations at the right time, because timing is key, and we know this as sellers and marketers, the better off that we'll be.
Sounds like you're using your tools to, if you like, customize the customer journey for individual customers. Instead of having one set pattern by which you expect to sell to people, you can use data to understand how different prospects are behaving, where they are in the journey, the intent they're displaying, and use that to deploy your sales representatives, your sales team to the best effect.
You nailed it, Kim. I mean, said very succinctly. The reality here is, you know, again, this is real for me because it's what I'm doing right now. My first step was, what's the ideal customer profile? Like, what does the data say? You know, the second step is, okay, how do I take that interpreted and now shift that into a go-to-market strategy that allows me within a workflow to deliver these things intelligently to the sales team?
And you're in the unusual position, but I guess it's a fun one, of using the solutions which are also selling.
Yeah. The great thing is I don't have to pay for them. No, but it's fantastic. Look, having unlimited amounts of data, as valuable as this data is, to be able to leverage it is it's really been fun. You know, and this is my strategy. You know, I'm leveraging the CDP in this process to stand up a library of programs. You know, And as I've socialized this across the organization, I have more and more of the product and the BU team saying, "Hey, that's fantastic! I want to deploy a program. I'll build a slide for you, you know, in your format. And if I build a slide and do some of the work, will you deploy this as well? Hey, let's go! You know, right now it's me as a seller, as a sales leader, really pushing to give my team and you know, my sellers additional places to go to hunt. The absolute best thing that could happen from my perspective is I've got the product organization and I have the BU, the business unit, pushing these ideas to me. That's when I know I've been successful.
That's great. And for the people listening in, maybe you could just touch on some opportunities they might not be thinking about, some ideas they might be missing. Any suggestions for the listeners?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's no one size fits all here, but I've got to fall back to some of the concepts I talked about, which are, it's in the data. You know, there's no universal answer, but the answer is in your data, and that answer is very specific to you. So my recommendation would be, number one, again, understand what is that ideal customer profile? You know, what does that look like? And don't get a qualitative view. And what I mean by qualitative is, oh, I think I sell really well. I take a look at the companies and here's what I see just by, you know, looking at that list on a spreadsheet. You know, contact somebody from Dun & Bradstreet, another provider who can give you, you know, that quantitative view that takes your data, your first party data, matches it up to third party data, gives you enrichment, helps you understand, you know, the verticals in a quantifiable way through a NAICS code, or gives you employee ranges or revenue bands to figure out what are those nuggets of insight that you might be able to grab that's really going to change the way that you go to market. You know, these observations can be very, very, very material, you know, and once you understand that, again, this next piece I look at is, what first party data do you have? Do you have usage data? You know, like the example I mentioned where we have specific products that are metered. And one of the things that I'm looking at is using that consumption as a sales trigger to push out to the sellers, you know, once they get to a certain level of consumption. It's a fantastic conversation that the seller can have reaching out. And the conversation doesn't have to be a transactional conversation of, you know, you bought X and you consume Y. The conversation is a fantastic conversation for a seller because they can call and say, hey, I see that you guys are really consuming lots of data right now. Help me understand, what are your current priorities? Help me understand what you're trying to accomplish. How can I help you get there in a more efficient and effective way?
So I think what I'm hearing is that in today's world, it's no longer enough to have a good hunch about what persona you're selling to or some idea about how they might be using the product. These are things you can actually use data to understand.
That's exactly right. You know, again, I keep falling back on, you know, the default is we work harder. Yes, we have to work hard, but we have to work smarter while working harder. To me, that's really the mantra that I'm pushing out to my team. And that's really important to me.
Yeah, work hard, but smarter. I think that's a great place to land the conversation, Chris. Thanks so much for being my guest today, and I hope everyone will look out for the next MarTech podcast.
Thanks, Ken.